Let's get into this. Are y'all ready? Number 9. All right, number 9. Whew, man, I just got to say, we just got off of youth camp this weekend. Let me see, if you are a part of youth camp, okay, kid, adult, anybody, would you stand up real fast? If you were at any part of youth camp, give these guys a hand. I think several of them are still sleeping, all right? It was a great weekend, a lot of stuff going on. They went to the Dream Center yesterday in Lubbock. They served, had a lot of rec. We worshiped. That's why my voice is a little hoarse. We just got after it this weekend. And so, and it just ties in greatly with what we've been talking about throughout this series of the Ten Commandments, because the theme for youth camp was called Set Apart. Okay, and I encourage you, go find a student who was a part of camp and ask them, what does set apart mean? What does that mean to be set apart? And I know they'll tell you. But what the Ten Commandments do for us, and what it did for the Israelites, and what it does for us today, is that it sets us apart. Okay, we are not of this world, we are ambassadors, right? Okay, and if we've given our life to Christ, we are no longer of this world. We are part of God's kingdom. We are set apart to be a holy nation. That's what God told the Israelites, and that's the same for us. And so it's a big deal. I just think it's great that how it all ties in this week from youth camp and into the Ten Commandments. It's just beautiful how God works. Amen? Amen. So let's throw the Ten Commandments on the slide, and we're going to do what we've been doing. We're going to recite them. Because it's what we're almost to the end, and I was not kidding last week about that test, okay? All right. Number 1. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 5. Number 6. Number 7. Number 8. Number 9. And number 10. Amen. Man, this has been great, right? I've loved it. I've loved it so far. It's been an honor to help teach some of them. And I got to say, I'm excited that we've been doing this, and that I'm excited about next week when we, number 10, and then I'm just... This is something we have to live by, something we have to live by, church. And just a reminder, you know, the first 4 commandments that we just recited, those talk about us dealing with our relationship with God, right? And then the last 6 commandments is how we are in relationship with one another, okay? And so as we look at this 9th commandment today, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture today. A lot of scripture, and so I just wanted to let you guys know that if you, if you're taking notes and I'm just spouting off scriptures and you want a copy of my notes, you're more than welcome to have those. Please email me, and I'll get those to you. Any other comments or concerns, please email Dean at Harvest Christian Fellowship. He's not even in here. Okay. He did that to me last week, so that's something else I wanted to... I love Dean. All right. Okay, so let's back up to the 3rd commandment, all right? Because it kind of ties in with our 9th commandment as well. Our 3rd commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The 3rd commandment deals with us speaking improperly against God. The 9th commandment talks about and how we are in relationship and how we shouldn't use improper speech against one another, okay? And so the 9th commandment, again, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And I'm going to be completely honest with you, because it would be bad to lie, because that's what we're going to talk about today. For the longest time, I didn't even know what this meant, okay? I've known for a little bit longer now, but, you know, growing up, I really didn't understand, what does it mean not to give false testimony against your neighbor, okay? And as I've been looking more into this and researching and reading the as I've grown in my faith and in the Lord, now understanding it's more so a call to truthfulness, the ninth commandment. It's a call. So if you flip it, so you shall not, instead you shall be truthful. If you think of it that way. You shall be truthful in all things. It forbids false accusations. It forbids lies, slander of any kind that would ruin character and reputation of another. So the truth, the key is we have to follow this commandment in our daily walk with Christ and in our living, we have to walk in truthfulness. So instead of thinking I shouldn't give false testimony against my neighbor, instead I should walk in truth in everything that I do. In words, in speech, in my thoughts, in my actions, everything I do should be walked and seen through the lens of truth. That makes sense? Because we're called, as believers, we're called to a higher standard of living. And just like all of the commandments, you know, when we read them in Exodus chapter 20, all the commandments are very, very point blank. You shall not murder. You shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Very, very black and white, right? But as we have talked through these commandments, we see that there's deeper meanings to these words. You know, as we talked about a few weeks ago, you shall not commit murder. Yes, that's right. That's good. No murder. And then Jesus comes onto the scene in the New Testament and says, no, not only shouldn't murder, but if you have anger in your heart, you've already committed that. You see? And then what we talked about 2 weeks ago, you shall not commit adultery. And then Jesus says again, no, I'm telling you, even if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed. You've already broken that commandment. And so these commandments are so much more than just face value. I'll say that. They're deeper heart issues. You see what I'm saying? And just a side note, I mean, and as I was studying this, I was just reminded, you know, when we read in Hebrews, it says the word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It just pierces through the heart, through bone and marrow. It touches us in a way that no other book can. And then if you read John 1:1, it says Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, speaking of Jesus. And so when Jesus speaks these words in the New Testament, saying not only if you, even if you have anger in your heart, or if you have lust in your heart, you've already committed, Jesus is getting to the root of these issues. Because remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. I am the law. Jesus says, I'm now let's get deeper into it. Now, this is what it really means. Okay? These are heart issues for us. So when we're talking about false testimony against your neighbor, and as we get into this, what it means, have that in your thought process, and as you're hearing these words, what it means not to give false testimony, the heart behind it all. It's a standard of living. It's not just by our speech, because we can say anything, right? We can say anything. Oh, I would never do that. I would never think that way. I would never give false testimony. But where's our heart at in it all? Make sense? Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We have to guard our heart before giving false testimony, before not letting the enemy persuade us or being conformed to the culture. We have to guard our hearts. And so as we look at this ninth commandment, let's see, I've got a list, and they're going to be on the screen, ways we have violated the ninth commandment. It is so much more than what I was saying earlier, than just giving false testimony. There's more to it than just that. And the first one, that a way we can give false testimony, is through false accusations. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, it says, excuse me. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. So the first one, this first way that we give false testimony to our neighbor is through false accusations. When we're required, here's in Deuteronomy 19:15, these are requirements when observing character or issues with others. You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. 1 Timothy 5:19, do not listen to an accusation against an elder unless it is confirmed by two or three witnesses. They tried to falsely accuse Jesus many times. Matthew 26, verses 59, it says, inside the leading priest and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. And so a false accusation against somebody else. Another example in Scripture is when Joseph was falsely accused for taking advantage of Potiphar's wife. Okay, that was a false accusation. When we accuse somebody, we've got to have our facts. Basically, that's what it's saying. Two or three more witnesses, and it amazes me that even the high priests, the leaders of the temple, were the ones wanting to bear false witness. And I know they knew the commandments. We should too, right? Another way to bear false witness, and this is probably the most common one we deal with, are lies. Lies. You go back to Proverbs 6, it says in verse 17, or back to verse 16, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent. Lies, not telling the truth, withholding the truth, not giving all the truth, okay? A lie. Psalm 34, 12, does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Proverbs 12, 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. Proverbs 26, 28, a lying tongue hates its victims and flattering words cause ruin. Lies that like, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. When you're really not. Why are you late? Oh, I was stuck in traffic. No. You see what I'm saying? You look great in that. I'm just saying that's an impossible situation. I know the scripture says all things are possible, but don't ask us, okay? When someone's trying to get a hold of you, oh, I didn't get that message. I didn't see that text. Now, these are like small, like little white lies. That's what we call them, but a lie's a lie. You know what I mean? A lie's a lie. And when we let something like that into our heart, hear me on this, church. When we let something like that into our heart, it begins to take root like a little weed. You know how hard it is to get rid of weeds? One little lie. Let me just jump here. It's on my mind. James 1, I think it's 1. James 1, God is never tempted to do wrong and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Then desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So one little lie, it always starts off simple, right? One little white lie, oh, I didn't mean that. It takes root and it starts to grow. And then you have to lie to cover that lie. And then you have to lie to cover that lie and that lie. Nobody has the brain capacity for that, you know? So it's better just not to lie. Those are, we would consider those small lies. But what about, you know, cheating on your taxes? That's a form of lying. That's not verbal, but it's a form of lying. Cheating on tests, okay? Lying about a sin, okay? Withholding truth from your spouse. One of the things the Lord hates is a lying tongue. Number three, the third way that we can give false testimony is flattery. Flattery, excessive and sincere praise given especially to further one's own interests. Psalm 12:2, neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts. May the Lord cut off their flattering lips and silence their boastful tongues. They say, we will lie to our hearts content. Our lips are our own. Who can stop us? I'm telling you guys, God does not like this. He is very clear in His Word. Do not do this. May the Lord cut off their flattering lips. I don't want that. Another way, slander. Another way we can give false testimony, not being truthful. Slander, the act of making a false and damaging statement about someone through spoken words. 1 Peter 2:1 says, so get rid of all behavior, all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. So when you're talking bad or giving false witness about somebody, that's slandering. And God's saying, don't do that. Again, it all goes back to our heart. One little thing, and we're going to read it here in a little bit in James again, but one little spark can start a forest fire. One little root can help the weed grow. We have to combat against that. And we'll get into that in a little bit, but No slandering. Number five, and this is a big one, gossip. Another way that we give false testimony that we can through gossip, spreading rumors or personal facts about others without their consent. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. And you know, this is one that we speak about a lot here at Harvest is we have a no-gossip policy because of exactly what we're talking about. It breaks this commandment. It gives false testimony. It's not our information to give. We talk about it in our membership class. We're very clear for our altar team. Whatever is brought up to the altar team for prayer is not brought to anyone on staff unless there's a safety issue. But, you know, we do zero tolerance for gossip, right? Because, again, what does it do? It begins that growth in your heart that you don't want, that we don't need, that'll just bring forth death. So we don't gossip. Another way, deception, misleading, and misinforming others. Proverbs 26:24-26 says, people may cover their hatred with pleasant words, but they're deceiving you. They pretend to be kind, but don't believe them. Their hearts are full of many evils. While their hatred may be concealed by trickery, their wrongdoing will be exposed in public. An example of deception in the Bible is when Jacob deceived Esau. He deceived Esau by telling Esau to give him his birthright for a bowl of soup. Esau was hungry, but he deceived him. Here, I'll feed you if you give me this. And then Jacob went on and deceived his father, Isaac, for the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau. And so that's one example of deception in the Bible, when we deceive others by misleading and misinforming. And then one story that I want to read out of Acts is the story of Stephen. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to go to Acts chapter 6. Acts I got to say, we are flying through this. So if I need to slow down, you guys tell me, okay? Acts 6, verse 8. It says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. They were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Sicilia, and the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So they, verse 11, so they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen. We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God. Now, this was a lie. Verse 12, this roused the people, the elders, and the teachers of religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witnesses said, this man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down to us. And at this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel. So, the high priest persuaded people to lie about Stephen. And if you continue reading on into chapter 7 and so on, we see that Stephen gives this amazing account and sermon to the council. And then eventually, Stephen became the first martyr for Christianity. Stephen died for his belief in Jesus, but even then, they persuaded those witnesses to lie about him, and even then, God's glory still shone through. Amen. So despite, even, and what I'm getting at is that even when false accusations can come our way, when people might be lying about you to you, or you might be the one lying, you know, whatever it is, God can use all things. There's grace in that. I'm not saying go ahead and do all of this because there's grace. No, I'm not saying that. Romans 6 is very clear about that. Should I sin all the more because of grace? No. Heavens no, Paul says. No, just because there's grace doesn't mean we're free to do any of this. No, God, these commandments, again, are not, they're not just rules to be followed. They're boundaries to bring us freedom. They're boundaries to bring freedom from the bondage of sin. Right? Because God knows our heart. God knows what we can handle, what we're capable of. And he says, do not do these things so that you may live. So that you will have, you won't be enticed. You won't be bound by sin. And so, that's the story of Stephen. It's just so beautiful to me because even though he was falsely accused, God still received all the glory because it says, you can accuse me all you want. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel. And so all of these, this list of false accusations and lies, flattery, slander, gossip, deception, those are all what we shouldn't do, okay? But I'm a firm believer in not just, you know, trying to live life on what I shouldn't do, okay? What should I do instead? Because here's the truth. If all we're thinking about, and I've said this before, if all we're thinking about is trying not to do something, what are you thinking about? That's all you're trying to do is not do something. I shouldn't. I don't need a lie right now. I don't need a lie. I don't need a gossip. This is not what I should do. I don't need to talk bad about this person. I don't need to have anger. I was like, I just got to stop. And we try to put it on ourselves to not do what we shouldn't do. Right? We talked about that in Romans. I'm not going to try and quote it, but it's when Paul is speaking, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I ought to do. Right? We can't think that way of just not doing something. So instead of just focusing on what we shouldn't be doing, we need to focus on what we should be doing. Yes, the commandment is don't give false testimony to your neighbor. Flip that. What should you do? Always live a truthful life. That's where our focus should be, to be truthful in all circumstances. Because, I mean, the ways of our culture, I mean, this is a call to holier living, because the ways of our culture is to do whatever it takes to make sure you get ahead. Do whatever it takes. Lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you got to do. But that is not what we're called to do. Now, as I was said at the beginning, we're called to be set apart. To be set apart. And all the ways of bearing false witness that we just mentioned earlier is nothing more than for our own selfish personal gain. There's only one reason to lie. It's what we think is better for ourselves. There's only one reason to gossip. It's to make yourself look better. There's only one reason to deceive, so that they won't find out the truth about me. All of it, all this commandment is wrapped up in don't give false witness. It's not about us. We can't make it about ourselves. Because when it boils back down to it, it's about pride. And we talked about that last week. Why do we steal? Because I don't trust. I don't trust in the real provider. But we're called to die to self, die to pride, and to trust in the one true God. Amen? We're going to jump to James chapter 3. And this is a lot of these... This list that we went through, it all has to do with our speech, right? And what we say, the words that we say. It is dealing with our heart, but remember, out of the heart, whatever is in your heart determines what you say, right? That's what Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So James 3, and I love the book of James. It's very practical, and he's very... to the point with us in this passage. It's James chapter 3. We're going to read all the way to verse 12. Okay, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our own tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Verse 5, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the very image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? And does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Our tongue, our speech, our words that we say is a powerful thing. That's why James is he speaks on it so clearly. And there's we've read a lot of scripture about how God hates lying. He detests it. And whatever the scripture we just read in Matthew, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have to be mindful of what we say. And what we think and what we allow into our heart, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I know I've said that three times now, but that's how important it is. What are you allowing into your heart? We as believers are called to a much, much holier place of living, set apart like we've talked about. We're not made to live like the world. We're made to live like Christ. We were made in the image of Christ. How dare we, as James says, curse those who were made in that very same image, like you and me. Romans 12:2. So again, the question is, okay, this is what I shouldn't do. What should we do? How do I control my tongue? Well, the scripture in Romans says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will learn God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And as we all, as it said in James, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. We've all, I mean, we would, if I was to ask, okay, has anyone ever broken this ninth commandment? We would all raise our hands. We don't need to, because we all would. We've all made mistakes. We are not perfect. We've all broken this commandment in one way or another, whether it's lying, gossiping, slandering somebody, falsely accusing somebody else. But again, it goes back to our heart. And praise God that, I mean, when Paul wrote that, do not conform to this world, but be transformed. Well, how do I become transformed? It's very clearly by renewing your mind. Well, how do I renew my mind? By daily walking with Jesus Christ. If you're not doing that, if we don't do that, we go back to our default setting, which is our sinful nature. And we put our trust in ourselves and not in Jesus Christ. How do I daily walk with our Savior Jesus Christ? We have to read the Word. We have to. You men who attend Brave Hearts, where, you know, we're walking through Proverbs right now. Today's July 13th, right? Yes. Today's July 13th. Which I find it very fitting that the third verse in Proverbs 13 is, those who control their tongue will have a long life. I did not plan this, by the way. I'm just like, wow, God moves. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Don't just read all of Proverbs 13, okay? But it's true. If we're not daily walking with Jesus, and we live by our own standards, by our own accords, and what culture says how we should live, do whatever you got to do to get ahead, lie, cheat, steal, all the things, then yes, opening your mouth can ruin everything. But just as James said in the Word, we also praise our Heavenly Father through it. Everything that comes out of our mouth, by the words we speak, and even from the depth of our heart, needs to be, has to be, worship to the Father. I'm not saying everything, every word has to be praise God, but when you love your wife, husbands, the way Christ loved the church, that's a form of worship. When you honor her, when you honor your kids, parents, that's a form of worship. When you respect one another, that's a form of worship. When we give God our very best, that's a form of worship. If we're not in our Word daily, and this is key, when we're not in our Word daily, we can tend to slip back and go back to what we think is right and based on our own knowledge. But if we're constantly pouring into our heart and our mind the Word of God, we become more and more like Jesus, to where our new default setting is not to lie in order that I won't get caught. But our new default is now, I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. Like, when you want to know how somebody really is, it's like a tea bag in hot water. get somebody really fired up, you'll see who they really are. Y'all ever heard that? I don't want it to be the lying or the gossiping or false accusation, anything other than that. I want, when I'm in hot water or whatever, I am running straight to the Father. And I'm worshiping, as it says in Philippians, give thanks in all circumstances. That's how you renew your mind. And that's where the transformative powers are. Is when we are daily in the Word. We're not thinking about just keeping the commandments. No, we're living them. My heart has been changed to live for Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Right? Second Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. A new life has begun. So you might be thinking, I'm the liar. I lie all the time. That might be you today. I have a problem with gossiping. I don't like that certain person, so I will talk bad about them when I'm not around them, just so I myself can be puffed up. It doesn't have to be that way. That's exactly what Scripture just says. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Today's a new day, church. And this is not there is no condemnation. This is an invitation. An invitation to get right with Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been breaking this commandment, that it has gotten to my heart, and I need it out. I need it out right now. I need it out right now. Jesus has the power to transform your life completely. And that's good news. That is the good news. He came to save your life, to save our lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Would everybody stand with me? I just want to remind, the purpose of the Ten Commandments, as we've been talking and as we've gone through this series, is, again, it's to protect us, to bring us freedom, to remind us who we are and how we are set apart for Christ, set apart from this world, to live for Christ. And that's got to be our new default setting. When I say default, it's like that's when something happens, that's how I react, no matter what. That's my default. Some of us might need some of us might not have that default setting yet. Like I was saying, Jesus is the only one who can bring healing. Jesus is the one who brings transformation. And if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to meet Jesus today. He's the one who brings life. John, this is a very popular passage, but John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it through him. And so it might not even be a struggle with lying or gossip or false testimony, whatever it is. God came, sent his Son to save you today. Today's a new day. Jesus came to fulfill the law, and the only way to live this life set apart from culture and set apart to bring God's glory here to this place, to Plainview, Texas, and to surround wherever we go, is only by a relationship with Jesus. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, I invite you to create one. have come to the altar this morning and pray with somebody and said, I need Jesus. I want life. I'm tired of living in darkness. I'm tired of living in sin. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of gossiping. This is not right. I need freedom this morning. Come and get prayer this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. And I thank you for the truth in your scripture. God, I thank you for that the truth sets us free. That I pray that we don't read not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole Bible as just a set of rules, God. No, the Bible, the Word of God is freeing. It brings freedom because, God, Jesus, you are the Word. You are the Word. And so, Father, I just pray for freedom right now in this place, whoever needs it this morning. Freedom from any bondage of sin. Freedom from the lies they've been told, the hurt that they have. God, bring healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your Ten Commandments. I thank you that, again, they bring freedom for us. So, Father, I pray right now that they settle deep into our hearts. That when we come into a situation where we have a choice to lie or to tell the truth, our default is to tell the truth every single time. When we have a choice to say something accusatory or bad about somebody else, we don't. We choose righteousness. We choose truth. So God, transform our hearts. Renew our minds, God, into something that is holy and pleasing for you. And that is our act of worship. God, we love you, and I thank you. I just give you all the praise and all the thanks, God, this morning for everything you've done for us. Thank you for another day. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your church, God. I just pray that you use us in a mighty way to bring your truth to this town, to whomever we reach, God, that we bring your truth and your goodness to everyone. Father, we love you. Be with us as we go, to be your hands and feet, to be your disciples. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Altar team, you go ahead and make your way down. If you need prayer, please come this morning. Otherwise, you're dismissed, and we'll see you at the bowling alley on Wednesday night.